It's your direct line to sports in Fairfield County, from FCAC to college to the rich history of days gone by. It's the pulse of the local sports community. It's Fairfield County Sports Central, and it starts right now.
Welcome to Fairfield County Sports Central here on WSTC 1400 AM. I'm Tom Chepetta, and I'll be your host for the next hour of local sports talk. As we've been doing for the past several weeks since we've been on each Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m., we have two terrific guest interview segments lined up for you, which we will get to in a short while. But wanted to start the show with what is usually the most anticipated piece of news that we at the Fairfield County Sports Commission have each year. And that time is here to talk about our new class of Hall of Famers. I can tell you that the votes are in, and we will be officially announcing the six new members of the Fairfield County Sports Hall of Fame this coming Wednesday at the Hall of Fame at UConn-Stanford at 12 noon at a press conference. The event is open to the public, so if you want to be the first to know, you're welcome to come down and hear who will be joining the annals of our Hall of Fame. The announcement really kicks off our push for Sports Night 13, our annual awards dinner, which will be Monday, October 16th, at a new venue this year for the dinner, the Stanford Marriott. So, once again, the annual process of our committees voting for the three wings, they've done a great job. And those committees are made up of some of the former Hall of Famers, or at least they're in our Hall of Fame. I call them former, but they are the ones who have gotten voted in. Local media, past and present, members of our sports commissions, our local reps in the different communities, and our board, and a geographic mixture that represents from Danbury to Stanford, Greenwich to Bridgeport, and everywhere in between. So late June is always an exciting time for us, we're excited and upbeat about the Hall of Fame. It was sad to learn this week that one of the state's great basketball coaches, Jim Kish, had passed away at age 86. While Jim is not in our Fairfield County Sports Hall of Fame, his legacy is firmly planted and it's very well represented. Kish dedicated 43 years to the city of Bridgeport and its kids as a teacher, administrator, its supervisor of physical education, and most notably, as the father of the Harding High School basketball dynasty as its head coach for 10 years from the late 60s until his last season in 1976-77. During that time, Jim launched the president's program into the stratosphere of New England scholastic basketball. He had a record of 178-48, five trips to the state finals in a six-year span, winning two Class L titles in 1973 and 76. And it had been 30 years since Harding had won its last hoops crown in 1943 before Jim took over the reins. And while his legacy stands alone on its own merits, it's those that came along for the ride and were beneficiaries of the wisdom and mentoring of this legendary educator that loudly trumpeted to the outside world. Without Jim Kish, there would be no Wes Matthews, Mike McKay, John Bagley, Charles Smith, and Charlie Bentley, to name just the most recognizable shining stars from the school's basketball tree that was planted, nurtured, and blossomed to an unprecedented level of success, with obviously these individuals being the beneficiaries. All five of these Harding greats are enshrined in our Fairfield County Hall, four in the overall County Hall, and Mike McKay in the UConn wing. So despite not having a plaque with Jim Kish's face on it and a list of his myriad of accomplishments, Kish is really a visible presence throughout the wall that honors our greatest athletes and coaches. Let's start with Bentley. Other than his longtime rival Vito Montelli from St. Joseph High, no high school basketball coach in the state has had more success than Charlie. 651 wins, second only to Vito's 878 New England best number of victories, and 9 state titles in 34 years at Harding. But it was the 4 seasons he spent at Kish's, as Kish's assistant, starting in 1973, before being named his successor for the 78-78 season, that prepared Bentley for the greatness that came his way. And Kish had left behind a special treasure for Charlie to build upon in that one John Bagley, who in his senior year at Harding made it an easy transition for Charlie to post the first of those 9 state titles. With Matthews, Bagley, and then Charles Smith all going on to long NBA careers, the proof is in the pudding in what Kish's foundation produced to make Harding basketball a national power and for every college coach a must-stop on the recruiting trail. From the 40s, when high school hoops began to have actual state championship games, through the end of the 60s, the power base in scholastic basketball resided in Hartford and New Haven. Bridgeport had some great Central High teams in the 60s, but it was Hartford Public, Hill House, and Wilbur Cross that were really the state's most celebrated mainstays. Kish shifted that power to Bridgeport, with Harding owning the 70s. It led to Bassac and eventually Central joining in the Park City's march to high school hoop supremacy, something that they are trying to hold on to this day. When his time at Harding was closing, Coach Kish then turned his coaching expertise to the college game by becoming a key part of Coach Fred Barakat's staff at Fairfield University for many years, starting in 1979, and then also he coached later on at the University of Bridgeport. And Harding faithful who owe so much to him. So for Coach Kish, an incredible individual who had so much to do, particularly in Bridgeport, where it was always a tough time for a lot of different reasons, and Jim really did some amazing stuff. So we wanted to make sure that we know Jim will be sorely missed, and it'll be a celebration of his life tomorrow. Next up, I wanted to get you updated on one particular event that's coming up in our what's happening in Fairfield County. And you may not have heard too much about it, but it'll actually help us out here at the Sports Commission, because two of our Hall of Famers, Bobby Valentine and the late Mickey Leone, will be part of this event, both actually and in spirit. And it's going to be happening tonight, the 24th. And if you hadn't heard about it, it's called Where Champions Emerge. And it's a series of amateur boxing events, Olympic-style boxing events, which will be held down at Bobby V's new sports academy, the much bigger version over at 99 Largo Drive over in Springdale. And they're looking for as many folks to come and buy some tickets. A lot of the proceeds are going to go and to help out the Mickey Leone Foundation, obviously named for Coach Leone for all he did in our community in Stamford. So Montalvo's Boxing Gym is going to be really the backbone behind the boxers and the boxing events. It's a U.S. amateur sanctioned event. And I would say if you got a little bit of time tonight, you want to go out and do something a little different. It starts at 7 a.m. and there's going to be boxing pretty much all night. And you can get some information at Bobby V's website and Montalvo's Gym. That's Montalvo's Gym, G-Y-M. And you also can send an email to that address at gmail.com. So give that some thought for your Saturday night out. Sounds like it will be fun and interesting. At this point, I think we want to take our first break, and then we'll get into our interview session. So we'll be back in a short while here on WSTC AM 1400 on Fairfield County Sports Central, and stay tuned. Thanks.
Head injuries, including concussion, a mild form of traumatic brain injury, are among the most feared and common of all sports injuries. If you or a loved one suspects a concussion, the neuropsychologists at Stanford Health's Concussion Center are here to diagnose, treat, and manage the condition. You do not have to be knocked unconscious to have a concussion, and no two concussions are alike. Symptoms such as headache, confusion, forgetfulness, sleep problems, and behavioral changes may not appear for several days. If concussion is diagnosed, our team at the Stanford Health Concussion Center will develop a customized treatment plan specific to your needs. Schedule an evaluation today with one of our qualified providers. To learn more, call the Stanford Health Concussion Center at Chelsea Pierce, Connecticut, 203-276-4123. That's 203-276-4123. Or visit stanfordhealth.org. Stanford Health. Healing. Reimagined.
Ever wonder where you can go to find out about all the great things that are happening in the sports community throughout Fairfield County? Ever wonder how you can play a significant role in helping to support all these terrific sports and youth activities? Well, the Fairfield County Sports Commission is the place to find the answers to these questions. And our new Fairfield County Sports Central weekly radio show each Saturday will be one of the main resources to stay informed as well as get you involved. Fairfield County Sports Commission is a 501c3 nonprofit, charitable, and educational organization that is the one-stop resource for the area's sports and fitness worlds. The commission works closely with youth organizations and health and fitness experts to keep Fairfield County moving through our Chelsea Cohen Fitness Academy. And if you're a local sports history buff, our Fairfield County Sports Hall of Fame, located at UConn-Stanford, is a must-see. When you're not tuning in to AM 1400 WSTC for Fairfield County Sports Central, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and check us out online at fairfieldcountysports.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Valentine inviting you to step into the winner's circle on Fairfield County Sports Central.
Welcome back to Fairfield County Sports Central in our weekly Fairfield County Shining Star segment, where we spotlight one of our Fairfield County Hall of Famers or a prominent sports personality in our local communities. Today's guest was part of our first class of Hall of Famers in 2005. Well, it doesn't seem that long ago, but that's 2005. And one of the first two in the community service wing. His sports accomplishments have a history that really spans about 60 years from his glory days in his youth to up to the present day. And we're really pleased to have Dave Bike join us here on Fairfield County Sports Central, since David has really been part of our sports commission in the Hall of Fame since we started. So, David, good afternoon, and thanks for taking time to chat with us.
My pleasure, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. And we were chatting a little bit off air before we got going, and I particularly wanted to have you on this week for several reasons, to talk about some specific topics, and primarily since we will be announcing our class of 2017 Hall of Famers this Wednesday down at the hall at UConn-Stanford. You were not only one of the first two to grace our Wall of Fame, along with the late Jerry McDougal, as our first two J. Walter Kennedy Community Service winners. But you have now become, over the past few years, one of the voting committee members to determine who follows your footsteps through the hall's front door. So I want to hear about your experience in being part of the selection process, along with a few others of our Hall of Famers who we like to have be involved, as well as the media people from our group, etc. in that selection process, like Gary Libertor and Don Cook. And this year we added Angela Tamaro because we certainly need more ladies' voices in the voting. And to get your perspective from an already enshrined Hall of Famer to kind of evaluate the worthy candidates and go through that process. So, Dave, why don't you talk a little bit about that since you've become a bit of a veteran at going through this process over the last few years.
Well, you know, we saw each other recently, I forget where, but and we talked a little bit about it. And as you know, you send out the list with a number of people, candidates on the list, and it's so hard to distinguish. You know, you ask to rank them order 1 to 10, and you could just throw darts at the board, and each person on that list, it's amazing how many people in Fairfield County, and as you go back and that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, the accomplishments of the people and the resumes that are put down there, and even though they're sometimes only little blurbs, you know, 4, 5, 6 sentences, and you can see the accomplishments of so many people, and it's harder and harder to distinguish, to rank them, you know, 1 to 10. You know, maybe we should change that and just put our 10 nominees, you know. I don't know, but
I think that's part of it, Dave, as we've gone along and we've changed things a little bit over the years, because, you know, when you start out, as we did the first year when you went in, and we call it more of a suggested list of names rather than a ballot, because everybody that votes, these are names we think you should certainly be considering, but also, and we have a number of the voting committee members that have, if they want to vote for a certain person, they feel strongly about it, because we don't have every single name there. It's almost impossible, particularly throughout the entire county, which I think there's 37 communities in Fairfield County. And every town has, 10, 12, 15 incredible coaches in that one category. And, the pro wing is more distinctive because you had to go on for a professional, career at the highest level. So I would agree with you that going through the selections for everybody, I'm getting the same feedback from a lot of others.
You know, but they also, like nowadays, which rightly so, different than, years ago when hockey was on TV once a week on Saturday afternoon, and they're only 16, so if you go back that far, now there's so many sports that deserve attention, and all sports have grown in across the board, that you're just not picking, say, the best or somebody accomplished something in basketball or football. All right, now, like I said, last year was so impressive, the fellow that I forget his name now.
Yeah, Bill Steinkraus
won the Equestrian Award.
Right. Well, you know what?
I mean, his accomplishments and the way he spoke and to hear a little bit about his history. I mean, I think everybody at the bank was impressed. You know, and if you asked me growing up what equestrian was, I probably wouldn't have any idea.
I know you're a little bigger guy and would have been tough on a horse, possibly, but I'm sure you were athletic enough to handle all that. But, we're talking about Bill Steinkraus, but he has more Olympic medals than anybody in Fairfield County history. And I'm glad you brought up the topic, David, of sports that are outside, the main 3, 4, 5 sports. Because for this year, I'm not going to tell everybody who it is, but for the first time, we are going to have our first race car driver.
Oh, is that right?
And with the advent of, obviously, NASCAR, all of the different, and we have 4 or 5 others that certainly could warrant, induction at some point. So I'm really pleased about that when we end up in a direction where a new sport, where maybe it isn't as popular, but people are going to get an understanding.
Right, right.
And we have some great people. So, we'll have the official names out on Wednesday. And it's open to the general public. If people want to come down at UConn-Stanford, we're going to do it at noon. Second thing I wanted to talk to you about, because I've always found this very unique, not only about you, but one of your recently retired colleagues at Sacred Heart, Nick Giaquinto, who we gave a little send-off the first week that Nicky retired this year, and who's also getting a number of votes for the Hall of Fame, is that the sports you both played professionally were different than the sports you chose to coach.
Both of you
for over 30 plus years.
Right.
And while everybody knows, your incredible, successful 35-year career as a coach at Sacred Heart, 530 victories, you've coached in more than 1,000 games, you're in the New England Basketball Hall of Fame, and the crowning achievement, the 1986 Division II national title, you decided to pursue your pro playing career in baseball.
Right.
Yeah, and after a really storied youth and scholastic career at Notre Dame, then in Bridgeport, but now in Fairfield, Coach, and we can talk about that, but you're a Bridgeport guy. You were an eighth-round draft pick, Detroit Tigers, 1965, actually becoming the first Connecticut player ever selected in the Major League Baseball free agent draft. You turned down a hoop scholarship to go to Fordham to sign with the Tigers. You spent 8 years in your farm system, were a three-time All-Star, again, primarily as a catcher. You rose up to be on the Tigers' 40-man roster and were right on the threshold playing for their AAA affiliate in Toledo. And tell us what happened when you finally decided that you would put an end to that life stream and move on to the next important phase of your life.
Well, I knew emotionally, I always liked basketball a little better than baseball. But the logical decision at the time that I made, and that you could only, you know, at that time, if you went to college, if you were a pro, you couldn't play the sport in college. You know, you had to give it up. But Scotty Burrell, who was later on from Hamden, who was a tremendous athlete, was able to play both basketball, pro baseball and basketball. The rule changed. All right, so we made a logical decision that if I wanted to be a pro making money, at that time, if you made the big league, you got $7,500 a year, all right, for a 4.5 month job. I mean, what a way to go, right, in 1965.
Right.
I wanted to be a pro, and I thought I had a better chance in baseball than basketball. So that's why I decided to sign a baseball contract. So then when I played, and I spent 8 years, it's kind of a little bit of a long story. I won't go into a whole lot of detail. After the 71 year, I had a real good year in 71 in Montgomery, and the Tigers had to decide if I was going to be on a big league roster one more time or put me on a double A because I used my triple A options. And they traded me to the Red Sox, all right? And I called them and asked them if I really get traded or not. And what happened is a week before spring training ended, they sent me back to the Tigers. So it was a way just to avoid the winter draft. So I was upset with that, really was. And I thought they circumvented the rules. So I was in AAA, and I was playing part-time, backing up the catcher. And then Bill O'Connor, who was my brother-in-law, was the assistant at Providence College, got the Sally University job, and he asked me to be an assistant. So I decided that the time of baseball was up, and I went out to be a basketball coach, which I enjoyed anyway, Both I know my parents and my wife were upset. They loved that. My wife loved minor league life, and it was completely different than it is now, But, I had the one wife that would have stayed in the minors. She loved that baseball life, But we decided to go in basketball, and I can't complain about how things turned out.
Well, there's nothing really to complain about, Coach, except a little agita that you get being a coach in general, and you were going to have that no matter where, because when you started out this career, I mean, I'm looking at so many people of how you're tied in with many of our Hall of Famers and how the worlds have collided, and you were an All-State and All-New England basketball player playing for Alvin Klinkscales, the late Alvin
right.
Klinkscales, who, at Notre Dame, and he said you were the best ever player he had, and he was a terrific judge of talent. you know, then you were able to, you were a Sacred Heart graduate, you were able to kind of come home again and be the assistant head coach with Don Feely. And then, as you mentioned, Billy O'Connor, who's really a Hall of Fame candidate himself, as we've been going through his incredible career, because he's a Stanford guy like me, you know, and then you really got back to SHU, and all of a sudden, you're in this incredible, you know, coaching opportunity. So, you know, you've had these incredible memories over those years, for sure, and
right.
A couple of our Fairfield County guys have helped out, like with that Division II title. You know, one of the stars of that team was Kevin Stevens from Norwalk. You coached an incredible amount of great players, including another county guy was a three-time All-American, was a two-time Regional Player of the Year, and Keith Bennett, a Stanford guy like me and from West Hill. Can you talk about, though, this is what I want to talk about, tying you into another Hall of Famer, the encounter you had with one of our Hall of Famers from last year, Manute Bol, you know, the 1985 New England Regional game, UB Sacred Heart, biggest rivalry. You guys were both at the top of the heap with Coach Webster and yourself, and you come out on top in this 47-45 game that people are going to characterize as a slowdown game. I think it might have been one of your best strategy games. Can you talk about a little bit what you remember about that game? Because it's really one of those games that stands out in history, and you were obviously right in the middle of it, as was Manute, as was Bruce, and tying back to our Hall of Famers.
Well, you know, we played them four times that year, all right? In the first year, you know, we had pretty good success over UB, and we were a run-and-gun style team, and we were playing Manute Bol in Bridgeport, and we weren't going to back down. You know what I mean? We were going to just play our game because we were Sacred Heart. You know what I mean? And I walked out of the gym after Manute Bol. I think he might have blocked like 13 shots. All right? And I saw Don Feely, and I was proud of the effort we gave, and, you know, we didn't back down, and we went after him. And I said to Feel, what do you think? And he said, know your enemy.
smart advice from Jay Donald.
Yep, and after that, we played them three more times, and we slowed the ball down. And it was funny that the two run-and-gun teams at the time, New Haven and us, were the only teams in New England that slowed the ball down. All right, so the next time we're ready to play UB, it was in the conference championship, and Joe Jackson, that was a regular season. Joe Jackson says to me, Coach, we're going to practice with a broom? You know, like some people were practicing. And I told Joe politely, Joe, you know where you can stick that broom? This time we're going around them. All right? And again, we slowed it down. You know, they beat us in the we beat them that time. And they beat us in the conference championship. And then in the NCAA's regional, we beat them in the regional game. So we split with them 2-2. Manute, Bruce always told the story that Manute got a technical, he thought he had three fouls or four fouls, and he thought he had four fouls, and Bruce was trying to tell him, no, you only have three, and he had trouble communicating, we ended up fortunate, to beat him in the regional finals. I mean, the regional quarterfinals, semis, you know, right. And we lost AIC in the finals.
Yep. Well, that was, again, and finally, too, you know, and I look at all the honors you've received over the years, a gold key from the Sports Writers Alliance in 1993. You were the Division II, basketball coach of the year, mentioned New England Basketball Hall of Fame, et cetera. And you're retired, but you're also at some level still active at Sacred Heart. I understand
right.
At some level. And, You're keeping an eye on one of our other Hall of Famers. You certainly need somebody to keep an eye on, Mr. Bobby Valentine. Can you just tell everybody as we're wrapping up, what's life like for Dave Bike now after this 60 years of incredible, sports accomplishments, your life? You mentioned Judy and being part of that with your family. So how goes it for Dave Bike?
Very well. You know, recently was in the building, and one of our athletic facilities guys said to me, how you doing? I said, I'm doing well, and He says, so am I. I said, yeah, but I really need it. I was fortunate, like I said, to spend a career there, that my family was being able to be involved, and we had a lot of great memories and stuff. And now with the school, I appreciate what Vice President Jim Barcanaro did for me when hiring me now as part-time. I work in my title is Athletic Business Manager. The title is much more prestigious than the work I do.
Right.
But being involved and being able to bump into the coaches all the time and being around the school and doing some paperwork that I enjoy doing, I'm very fortunate and been blessed all my life, and I appreciate it.
Well, David, because from a personal standpoint, and I know this echoes a lot of people, because you did everything the right way. You're the consummate gentleman. You're the consummate sportsman. And everything you worked hard to get, you got. But you also got the respect of people over this period of time. And we're just, you know, I know you and I have, you know, thankfully with all Hall of Famers, have developed a personal friendship beyond what we do through there. So we really appreciate you having taken some time to be with us on the show. Thanks again for your time also with the voting in the Hall of Fame. And you'll get by email, as the voters will, before Wednesday who are the winners. But we will talk soon. So, Dave, Mike, thank you very much for being with us here on Fairfield County Sports Central.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Tom. Have a good day.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, our first break, and come back right away with our in-community segment here on Fairfield County Sports Central. Stay tuned to WSTC.
Hi, this is Gary Cobb inviting you to step into the winner's circle on the Fairfield County Sports Central on AM 1400 WSTC, Fairfield County's favorite radio.
Okay, we're back on Fairfield County Sports Central, and next up is our In the Community segment. Today we have Ilaria St. Florian from Stanford Health. Ilaria is the manager of the Kids Fans, and that FANS is an acronym for Fitness and Nutrition Services, out of Stanford Hospital in the Stanford Healthcare Group. And we're very proud to say that we've been supporting Kids Fans for many years. And Ilaria has done a terrific job in expanding the program. And also, we'll talk a little bit about the Stanford Children's Health Collaborative, which is a terrific organization that myself and our sports commission have been part of. So, Ilaria, welcome to Fairfield County Sports Central.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. So I wanted to start out in an area that we've been able to support and give you the opportunity to talk about this year in particular, where primarily this had been a middle school program in the Stanford schools, and you and Stanford Health have expanded into all of the elementary schools, which is terrific. And we were able to financially help some with four of those schools. I had a chance to go over to the Westover Magnet School and see everything in action. And we're also working with the Child Learning Center on the pre-K side, and you guys have been doing that as well. So can you talk about the expansion into the elementary curriculum and why you looked into doing that with primarily the third graders, and give a little history of the program as well and all the great things that you guys are doing to try to get kids at the schools and their families educated on living a healthy, active lifestyle?
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for your support, Tom. Kids Fans started about 9-10 years ago, and it really started as a community after-school program. And when I came on 3 years ago, I wanted to expand the program because I wanted to get more kids in it. If you think about it, if an after-school program has maybe 30 kids, but if you enter into a school, you're suddenly hitting hundreds of thousands of kids. So we piloted the program 2 years ago in four Stanford elementary schools, and we piloted different grades, really all the way from K to fifth. And after that year, the teachers and myself and the other Kids Fans nutritionists felt that third grade was a good year. They were old enough to understand the material, yet still young enough that they were still developing their food preferences. And so that's how this year we ended up selecting third grade for all 12 of the public elementary schools in Stanford. And we were also, you mentioned Child Care Learning Center, CLC. We were also able to go in there and teach the preschoolers and have some parent meetings as well, because, of course, getting parent support is a key piece of improving health and nutrition for children.
Well, with the school year, I guess it's either about over or about to be over. You never know how many snow days we're in these days.
It's over.
It is over. I figured that much. What's been the feedback of what you had for doing this over the course of the year, and from that feedback of things that you're going to be looking at, maybe trying to do more of, or potentially some new things. So how did it go?
Absolutely. So the feedback has been so far positive. We did a pre-test at our very first class in September and a post-test at our last class in May. I'm still going over them, but what I've seen so far, the pattern in the post-test is that kids have, it was a test of both knowledge of nutrition and behavior. And I've definitely seen improvements in both categories. And really the behavior is the piece that I find the most interesting. So kids that say, after taking the program for 8 months of the school year, I'm now eating more fruits and vegetables and making healthier choices. We've also gotten feedback from the teachers. So it's through the physical education teachers where we teach the classes. And I'm always keeping the lines of communication open, saying, you know, please tell me how I can tweak the program. And just teaching the program myself, because I write the curriculum. So when I then go in the class and teach it, I really can see what works and what doesn't work for kids. And certainly the more hands-on, the more you're engaging the kids, getting them up off their chair, touching things, the more the material seems to sink in and make a greater impact for them.
Well, I think without question, and having seen you in action with the curriculum and the response of the kids in the room, that is very important. And I also know, because, you know, in the past, and I know you still enlist them, you've had the dietitians, you have a little small army of very highly qualified dietitians who have taught the nutrition portion. And also we were able to help there, where over the last several years, we were able to take this great Kids Fans program into the after-school programs in Norwalk through our association with the Carver Center. And we were able to do that middle school program. And this year, I think we finished up. We hit all of, I think there were six different middle schools there that we were able to take care of. So that was something that was really rewarding for us, because a lot of what we do is kind of sharing best practices. And since, you know, I had learned about it, you know, quite a while ago. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, Dr. Mather had started it. And now, you know, Dr. Ricos and Dr. Brewer are involved with the Health Collaborative, and having you really out in the community promoting it, and now in the schools directly, which was the biggest jump. It's really made some incredible progress. I know the program has won some awards. So let's kind of dovetail into the Stanford Children's Health Collaborative, which is another piece that you're active involved in, that was renamed kind of from our, I don't know, what were we calling it? The Child Obesity Task Force, I think. But in 2016, and it's this is a much clearer of what the mission is. So can you talk a little bit about that? I think there's, I don't know, at least on the email list, there's probably about 75 or 80 potential members, and, you know, 40 or 50 different organizations, maybe even more than that. So can you talk a little bit about that and the importance of those quarterly gatherings of the community of people who are handling our young people and families?
Yes, absolutely. So it was the task force. Now it's the Stanford Children's Health Collaborative. And it's such an important organization, as you say, because one person can't work in isolation. I can't single-handedly change behaviors of children in Stanford. So we need all the people around that table that all have a vested interest in improving the health of children and their families. And by working together, what we've learned through doing 2 years, we've done a citywide initiative for March National Nutrition Month. And what we found is that when we all work together, we can make a really great impact on the city. And I want to try and create new programs moving forward where we can work as a team, because what research shows you is that to change behaviors, children and adults as well, for that matter, need to hear the same health message repeatedly throughout the day in different parts of their daily environment. So whether that be before school, during school, after school, at home. So if we can all, within the task force, work together to send that message to children in different parts of their daily life, we're more likely to create healthy behavior change.
And what is terrific, and I know every time, you know, when I come to the meetings, that you have a wide variety of all kinds of different organizations that are there to try to help children. And everybody has a common mission, but everybody's doing it in a different manner. So, yeah, can you talk a little bit about the makeup? Because you have from the Fairfield Gardens, where, you know, you got kids and families that are out tilling the soil and growing the vegetables, and then the cooking piece, and you've got the social agencies who are doing a number of things. You've got the city is involved, health department, some other groups. So why don't you talk about that variety, and I think that's the importance of the group, of being able to bring all these people together on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned some of the different members around the table, including ShopRite Supermarket as well. And it's because every family has different needs. And certainly lack of access to healthy food is a big piece of it, which is why it is so valuable to have, for instance, the Connecticut Food Bank and also the farm, a place where children who maybe don't have access to healthy fruits and vegetables or physical activity can go and work on the farm, and in exchange get free produce that they can bring home. And so by having people from different sort of industries within Stanford, but with the same interest and goal in mind of helping improve the health of children, we can come up with some really creative solutions and fill the gap. So I may have a child that needs access to food or needs physical activity, and I have most likely somebody around that table who can fill that gap for me, who can be a source of referral. And that just makes me, it gives me more power as a clinician that I can say, oh, well, maybe I don't have the solution, but here, let me refer you to this person. And I can reach out and make a phone call because I know everybody from seeing them every 3 months at the task force meetings.
Well, and you can do us a big favor with that wonderful distribution list. Tell them to tune in. They're going to be able to hear from you, the horse's mouth, about everything they've been doing and all the wonderful things. So I'll send you over the information and the link for that. So, Larry, we really appreciate you taking time, again, for our sports commission, our Chelsea Cohen Fitness Academy. It's really been terrific to be able to be part of the collaborative, part of supporting kids fans, both at Stanford and Norwalk, and for us now to be able to help children from pre-K through some other programs. We work with the Boys and Girls Club in Stanford and Yearwood Center right through young adulthood. So, Alaria, keep up the great work. We appreciate all the support from Stanford Health. So we'll talk to you soon, and we'll see you at the next meeting.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tom. Take care.
Okay, that was Alaria St. Florian from Stanford Health talking about the Kids Fans Fitness and Nutrition Services Program. It's time for our next break. We will be back in a short moment on WSTC AM 1400. You're listening to Fairfield County Sports Central. I'm Tom Chipetta, so stay tuned.
Head injuries, including concussion, a mild form of traumatic brain injury, are among the most feared and common of all sports injuries. If you or a loved one suspects a concussion, the neuropsychologists at Stanford Health's Concussion Center are here to diagnose, treat, and manage the condition. You do not have to be knocked unconscious to have a concussion, and no two concussions are alike. Symptoms such as headache, confusion, forgetfulness, sleep problems, and behavioral changes may not appear for several days. If concussion is diagnosed, our team at the Stanford Health Concussion Center will develop a customized treatment plan specific to your needs. Schedule an evaluation today with one of our qualified providers. To learn more, call the Stanford Health Concussion Center at Chelsea Pierce, Connecticut, 203-276-4123. That's 203-276-4123. Or visit stanfordhealth.org. Stanford Health. Healing reimagined.
Ever wonder where you can go to find out about all the great things that are happening in the sports community throughout Fairfield County? Ever wonder how you can play a significant role in helping to support all these terrific sports and youth activities? Well, the Fairfield County Sports Commission is the place to find the answers to these questions. In our new Fairfield County Sports Central weekly radio show each Saturday will be one of the main resources to stay informed as well as get you involved. Fairfield County Sports Commission is a 501c3 nonprofit, charitable, and educational organization that is the one-stop resource for the area's sports and fitness worlds. The commission works closely with youth organizations and health and fitness experts to keep Fairfield County moving through our Chelsea Cohen Fitness Academy. And if you're a local sports history buff, our Fairfield County Sports Hall of Fame, located at UConn Stanford, is a must-see. When you're not tuning in to AM 1400 WSTC for Fairfield County Sports Central, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and check us out online at fairfieldcountysports.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Valentine inviting you to step into the winner's circle on Fairfield County Sports Central.
Okay, now it's time for our good sports story of the week. And this week, that story revolves around golf. There are a lot of exciting and big things that have gone on and are still going on this week in the local and state golf world. I want to begin with one of those happenings that really touched our sports commission personally and in a big way. On Monday, we were part of the 9th annual Lou Ferraro Golf Classic. We were fortunate enough to be one of the two beneficiaries of the tourney at Greenwich's beautiful Tamarack Country Club, along with the First Tee of Connecticut. The Lou Ferraro event honors the late father of Greenwich resident Jim Ferraro. We became aware that Jim's prior beneficiary was no longer going to be part of the event, so we were able to speak with Jim, and he graciously agreed to have both our Fairfield County Sports Commission and the First Tee receive the proceeds from the tournament. Both of our groups worked together to run the logistics and help Jim in bringing golfers and other support to the Ferraro Classic. This wasn't the first time we had collaborated with the First Tee, which has been a supporter of the commission and our Chelsea Cohen Fitness Academy literally right from the start. But this was the first time of working with the overall First Tee of Connecticut organization. First Tee is a national organization that not only teaches youngsters to play golf, but more importantly, also has a core values curriculum that educates our young people on life lessons, as well as focusing on important areas of personal development. First Tee Connecticut is in the final stages of transitioning to oversee Fairfield County, which for many years was part of the Metro New York First Tee. The county will soon be fully part of the Connecticut organization, and the Ferraro tourney was, I think, a great first step toward building a strong relationship now that we both share and have many of the same goals in our area. The event was very successful, and we're already getting ready to plan for this to be an annual fundraising effort for both groups. And we think forging the relationship with Jim in this golf tournament is going to be terrific for all of us. The only slight obstacle to this year's event was the Monday date the Ferraro Classic is always staged on, which is always the day after Father's Day. The tournament has a father's legacy theme with Lou Ferraro as the center, but all the players were encouraged to send photos and some information on their dads, which was part of a video tribute at the dinner that night. The reason it was tough for First Tee is that Monday was also the first day of the Travelers Championship PGA event in Cromwell. First Tee Connecticut has its offices right on the property at TPC Highlands, and they played host to the opening ceremonies, so much of the staff was needed to be in Cromwell. But they rallied the troops and had several people on site for the tourney in Greenwich as well to make everything go smoothly. And speaking of the Travelers, it really is sometimes an underappreciated treasure in the state of Connecticut, and maybe even down our way sometimes, because while driving to Cromwell's not very far, sometimes the roads can be a little bit of an obstacle themselves. And as what was going on locally Monday in Greenwich at our tournament, the week-long event of the Travelers, the entire purpose for its existence is to do, as all PGA Tour events do, which is raise as much money as they can for local charities. What has been called the Travelers since 2008, the golf tourney began in 1952 with the appropriate name of the Insurance City Open. From 1967 through 2003, it went by the Greater Hartford Open, and then also for a short time was known as the Buick Championship. But for all these years, it was a regular tour stop, with now this being its 66th consecutive year taking place and finishing up today and tomorrow with the final two rounds. Since its 1952 birth, the golf event has raised more than $36 million for local charities, much of that tied in over the years with the Hartford JCs. Last year, it raised $2.8 million, the most it ever has, and that money helped 140 charities throughout the state and region. Now, the tournament has been gaining much greater respect from the pro golfers, and this year's event marked the first appearances of two of the greatest young players in the game, in the current tourney leader, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy. But this particular year, and then there's some particular significance for one of our own, J.J. Henry, who was inducted into our Fairfield County Hall of Fame last year. The Fairfield native, who was in his 20th season on the PGA Tour, is in the field again and made the cut, terrific, with his one-under finish after round two on Friday. Henry has three PGA Tour wins, but none more personally rewarding than his victory at the then Buick Championship in 2016, which was not only his first ever win on tour, but also marked him for history as the first ever Connecticut golfer to win the tourney. The list of winners at Hartford are a who's who of the sport. Arnold Palmer won twice, Billy Casper four times. Others include Sam Snead, Lee Trevino, and Greg Norman. And more recently, Phil Mickelson posted back-to-back triumphs in 2001 and 2, and Bubba Watson owns two Travelers victories. So this afternoon, let's keep our hometown hero JJ in mind and tune into the TV coverage to keep track of his progress. Or even better, take the ride up to Cromwell and join the army of the Connecticut golf fans who support this event like virtually no other on tour. The Travelers is the second most attended stop on the tour, just behind the Crazies in the Desert of Arizona for the Waste Management event usually in the spring. And JJ plays a substantial role in the final part of this great golf tale. Following the conclusion of the U.S. Open this past Sunday, the week got off to a great start here with a very special version of our own U.S. Open, the annual Connecticut State Amateur Championship. JJ won three of those state amateurs while playing out of the Patterson Club before going on to an All-American college career at TCU and then turning pro. So with that local connection, along with other county golfers who have won the title over the years, it was terrific to see that the first time the Connecticut State Golf Association decided to have a public golf course host its signature event. They chose one of our Fairfield County's finest tracks in Tashua Knolls and Trumbull, because up until this week at Tashua, the Connecticut State Amateur was always played at a state country club. With the USGA and its US Open looking to grow the sport nationally, it's great to see the CSGA make the decision, and I think it'll be a really great big first step to help open up the sport on the public level. This is the 115th edition of the Amateur, and having it hosted in Fairfield County at a quality 27-hole public facility like Tashua, which besides the main course has the popular 9-hole executive course called the Glen, is a coup for our area. With two of the greatest amateur players in state history, Dick Sidoroff of Westport and the late Jerry Corville of Norwalk and Shorehaven, along with the great Julius Boros of Fairfield, a national golf Hall of Famer, the county's golf tradition is very rich, so it was an appropriate starting point for the state amateur. And by the way, all three of those great golfers are members of our Hall of Fame. So I'll wrap this good sports story with a final note about our upcoming class of Hall of Famers and let you know we'll be adding another golfer this year to that impressive list. Golf, as you have learned, hopefully, when hearing this great sports story, to be a great vehicle for lots of positive things, and you don't even need to be a golfer to be part of that. There are always hundreds of charity golf tournaments throughout the county every spring and fall, and they can use your support as volunteers, provide auction items, buy a tee sign for your business, etc. We in the First Tee learned that on Monday, and the charities the travelers will be spreading their proceeds to will be an even bigger boost to our communities. So if you're not a golfer, you still can contribute, and that's an important part of the sports community on every front. That really does it for our fifth edition of the Fairfield County Sports Central. I want to thank our guests, Dave Bike and Ilaria St. Florian from Stanford Health. And remember that we have a replay of the show that will be Friday, July 1 at 10 a.m. here on WSTC-FM. So until next week at 1 p.m., Fairfield County Sports, when we return on Fairfield County Sports Central, have a great weekend and maybe take a trip upstate to the Travelers. Thanks, everybody.